temperatures in the southwest of England will get up to around 20 degrees. On to northwest England and northeast England. The morning will be wet. There'll be lots of low grey cloud. The afternoon, again, I think fairly cloudy, but maybe a bit of brightness. 18 degrees, the temperature in Leeds. And then for the rest of England, rain in the morning, but the afternoon will be a little bit brighter and it will feel humid. Temperatures around 20 degrees. And I think there will be some rain early in Wimbledon, early in the play. Then later on, it should brighten up. Zoe, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Thomas. Now, our Book of the Week continues with The Reason I Jump, written by 13-year-old Naoki Higashida. The young author has severe autism and finds it difficult to hold a conversation. He wrote this book painstakingly, Japanese character by character. When the novelist, David Mitchell, whose own son has autism, discovered the book, it felt transformative, and he began this translation for personal use. David Mitchell introduces this reading by Casper Hilton Hilly.
During the 24/7 grind of being a carer, it's all too easy to forget the fact that the person you're doing so much for is, and is obliged to be, more resourceful than you in many respects. As the months turn into years, forgetting this fact can become disbelieving it. And this lack of faith makes both the carer and the cared for vulnerable to negativities. Naoki Higashida's gift is to restore faith by demonstrating intellectual acuity and spiritual curiosity, by analysis of his environment and his condition, and by a puckish sense of humour and a drive to write fiction. We're not talking signs or hints of these mental propensities. They're already present in the book which you're about to hear. The Reason I Jump discredits the doomiest items of received wisdom about autism, that people with autism are antisocial loners who lack empathy with others. Naoki Higashida reiterates repeatedly that no, he values the company of other people very much, but because communication is so fraught with problems, a person with autism tends to end up alone in a corner, where other people then see them and think, aha, it's a classic sign of autism, that. But if people with autism are oblivious to other people's feelings, then how could Naoki testify that the most unendurable aspect of autism is the knowledge that he makes other people stressed out and depressed? How could he write stories boasting characters who display a range of emotions and plots designed to tweak the tear glands? Like all storytelling mammals, when Naoki writes, he is anticipating his audience's emotions and manipulating them, and that is empathy. The unavoidable conclusion is that both emotional poverty and an aversion to company are not symptoms of autism, but consequences of autism and its harsh lockdown on self-expression and society's near-pristine ignorance about what's happening inside the heads of people with autism.
I can't believe that anyone born as a human being really wants to be left all on their own. Not really. No, for people with autism, what we're anxious about is that we're causing trouble for the rest of you, or even getting on your nerves. This is why it's hard for us to stay around other people. This is why we often end up being left on our own. The truth is, we'd love to be with other people, but because things never, ever go right, we end up getting used to being alone, without even noticing this is happening. Whenever I overhear someone remark how much I prefer being on my own, it makes me feel desperately lonely. It's as if they're deliberately giving me the cold shoulder.
Is it true that you hate being touched?
Personally, I have no particular problem with physical contact, but sure, some people with autism can't stand being hugged or touched. I don't know why, to be honest. I guess it just makes them feel uneasy. Even the way we adjust our clothing to match the season. Putting on more clothes in winter and fewer in summertime, this can be a very big deal for people with tactile issues. Acting accordingly as situations change is a tough call. More generally, for a person with autism, Being touched by someone else means that the toucher is exercising control over a body, which even its owner can't properly control. It's as if we lose who we are. Think about it. That's terrifying. There's also the dread that by being touched, our thoughts will become visible. And if that happened, the other person would really start worrying about us, you see. We put up a barricade around ourselves to keep people out.
Why do you write letters in the air?
People with autism often write letters in the air. Are you trying to tell us something, or are you thinking about something? You must be wondering, I guess. In my case, I'm writing to confirm what I want to remember. As I write, I'm recalling what I've seen, not as scenes, but as letters, signs and symbols. Letters, symbols and signs are my closest allies because they never change. They just stay as they are, fixed in my memory. And whenever we're lonely or happy, in the same way that you might half hum a song to yourself, we summon up our letters. When I'm writing them out, I can forget everything else. I'm not alone when I'm with letters. Letters and symbols are much easier for us to grasp than spoken words, and we can be with them whenever we want.
Why are your facial expressions so limited?
Our expressions only seem limited because you think differently from us. It's troubled me for quite a while that I can't laugh along when everyone else is laughing. For a person with autism, our idea of what's fun or funny doesn't match yours, I guess. More than that, there are times when situations feel downright hopeless to us. Our daily lives are so full of tough stuff to tackle. At other times, if we're surprised or feel tense or embarrassed, we just freeze up and become unable to show any emotion whatsoever. Criticising people, winding them up, making idiots of them or fooling them doesn't make people with autism laugh. What makes us smile from the inside is seeing something beautiful or a memory that makes us laugh. This generally happens when there's nobody watching us, and at night, on our own, we might burst out laughing under the duvet, or roar with laughter in an empty room. When we don't need to think about other people or anything else, that's when we wear our natural expressions.
What's the worst thing about living with autism?
You never notice. Really, you have no idea quite how miserable we are. The people who are looking after us might say, "Minding these kids is really hard work, you know." But for us, who are always causing the problems and are useless at pretty much everything we tried to do, you can't begin to imagine how miserable and sad we get. Whenever we've done something wrong, we get told off or laughed at, without even being able to apologise. And we end up hating ourselves and despairing about our own lives again and again and again. It's impossible not to wonder why we were born into this world as human beings at all. But I ask you, those of you who are with us all day, not to stress yourselves out because of us. When you do this, it feels as if you're denying any value at all that our lives may have, and that saps the spirit we need to soldier on. The hardest ordeal for us is the idea that we are causing grief for other people. We can put up with our own hardships, okay, but the thought that our lives are the source of other people's unhappiness, that's plain unbearable.
Why are your sleep patterns all messed up?
Quite a few people with autism find it hard to fall asleep at night. When I was little, there were times when I couldn't fall asleep either, even when it got really late. This seems strange, because we human beings aren't nocturnal animals, right? But now I rarely have this problem. The cure might simply be time. People with autism can be restless and fidgety all the time, almost to the point of it looking comical. It's as if it's the summer for us the whole year round. Most people look pretty relaxed when they're not doing anything in particular, but we're always zooming off madly like a kid who's late for school. We're like cicadas who'll miss the summer unless we hurry. Hurry, hurry. Bzzz, bzzz, crick, 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 crick. Shh. We cry our hearts out, shout our heads off, and never rest in our battle against time.
Would you give us an example of something that people with autism really enjoy?
We love the greenness of nature. Our fondness for nature is, I think, a little bit different to everyone else's. I'm guessing that what touches you in nature is the beauty of the trees and the flowers and things. But to us, people with special needs, nature is as important as our own lives. When we look at nature, we receive a sort of permission to be alive in this world, and our entire bodies get recharged. However often we're ignored and pushed away by other people, nature will always give us a good big hug here inside our hearts. The greenness of nature is the lives of plants and trees. Green is life, and that's the reason we love to go out for walks. The reason we aren't much good at people skills is that we think too much about what sort of impression we're making on the other person, or how we should be responding to this or that. But nature is always there at hand to wrap us up gently, glowing, swaying, bubbling, rustling. Just by looking at nature, I feel as if I'm being swallowed up into it. And in that moment, I get the sensation that my body's now a speck from long before I was born. A speck that is melting into nature herself. This sensation is so amazing that I forget that I'm a human being and one with special needs to boot. Nature calms me down when I'm furious and laughs with me when I'm happy. As autumn comes around the year's corner, the cicadas' lives come to an end. Human beings still have plenty of time in store, but we who have autism, who are semi-detached from the flow of time, we are always uneasy from sunrise to sunset. Just like the cicadas, we cry out, we call out.
Why do you memorise train timetables and calendars?
Because it's fun. We get a real kick out of numbers. Numbers are fixed, unchanging things. The number one, for example, is only ever, ever the number one. That simplicity, that clearness, it's so comforting to us. Any given timetable or calendar is always, always the same. You can easily understand all of them by following the same set of rules. And when it comes to our favourite things, we can memorise these as easily as if they were jumping straight into our heads. Invisible things like human relationships and ambiguous expressions, however, these are difficult for us people with autism to get our heads around. Perhaps you're thinking that it's no major effort for me to write these sentences, but that wouldn't be true at all. Always lurking at the back of my mind is an anxiety about whether or not I'm perceiving things in the same way that people without autism do. So, through TV, books, and just tuning into the people around me, I'm constantly learning about how ordinary people are supposed to feel in given situations. And whenever I learn something new, I write a short story dealing with the situation in question. This way, with luck, it won't slip my mind. Here's a story. There was once a girl who loved dancing, and she wore red shoes. Everybody who knew her thought, that girl will keep dancing until the day she dies. And who knows, maybe the girl thought the same thing herself. One night, when the whole world was fast asleep, she began dancing. She went a twirl and a whirl and a leaping curl. A skippity skippity skip skip skip. A tappity tappity tap tap tap. A tra-la-di-da and a tim-tam-tom. The girl was in a state of sheer bliss. How sublime it is to dance. A whole week went by in this manner. Then she thought, I wonder how much longer I can keep this up. By this point, she was almost dead on her feet. But all she wished for was to keep on dancing, dancing and dancing. Then on the eighth day, this handsome young man appeared. He said to her, would you care to dance with me? With that, the girl stopped dancing. She said, thanks, but no. I've just discovered something more precious than dancing. Then, in a small house, they lived happily ever after.
Casper Hilton Hilly was reading from The Reason I Jump, which was translated and introduced by David Mitchell. It was abridged and produced by Allegra McElroy. You can catch up on the Book of the Week for 7 days after broadcast on the Radio 4 website. The Shipping Bulletin is next here on BBC Radio 4, and to take us there, it's Sailing By. And now on BBC Radio 4, it's the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Friday, the 28th of June, 2013. There are warnings of gales in Trafalgar, Fitzroy and Bailey. The general synopsis at 1800. Low, Fisher, 1011, slow moving with little change by 1800 Friday. Low, 100 miles south of Iceland, 1002, expected 200 miles northeast of Iceland, 989, by same time. The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking, variable 4, becoming southerly 5 to 7, veering southwesterly later. Rain later, good, occasionally poor later. North at Sierra, south at Sierra, variable 4, becoming southerly.